Well, Europe's recovery isn't plain sailing. Germany's inflation is not coming down, so the last mile for the ECB is somewhat stickier than they'd like. That might not put the kibosh on a June rate cut, but what about the series of successive cuts to follow that? Are they now looking less likely? Meanwhile, we might have our own stickiness to contend with. Retail sales for Australia today, and for those hoping for that Chinese comeback, manufacturing PMIs are out today as well. And Japan, a swift reversal in the yen. We'll try and figure out why that is. It's Tuesday. It's the 30th of April, 2024. It's the Morning Call from NAB. Good morning. Well, the US dollar that climbed a bit on Friday lost almost all of that on Monday, down 0.3% on the DXY. The Aussie, that didn't lose on the US rising dollar on Friday, rose even more against the falling US dollar on Monday, if you see what I mean. So it's up over 0.5% to a little over 65.6 US cents. The pound is up about the same. The euro up 0.25%. The yen, which had such a bad day on Friday, managed to climb back 1.5%, below 156 yen to the dollar now, somewhat better than 160, which is where it was earlier in the session. And bond yields are falling despite all the talk of rates being higher for longer and finishing higher as well. 4 basis points off 10-year treasuries today, down to 4.62%, down 4 for 10-year bunds. Australian 10 years were down 3 basis points yesterday to 4.48%. And that is actually pretty much where they've stayed on futures overnight. And US stocks, well, they were rising. Then they started to fall in the last hour, particularly for the S&P 500, which went quite a bit into the red. But then they picked up again. So the NASDAQ closed up 1/3 of 1%. 0.4% added to the Dow, 0.3% added to the S&P. In Europe, well, the FTSE 100 managed to climb just 0.1% at close, but 0.5% fall in the Euro Stoxx 50. And oil is falling back down again, 1.2% off Brent, down to around 88 a barrel, and 1.3% off WTI. So is there a cohesive story in that, in all of that? I'm not sure. Let's find out with NAB's Rodrigo Catrille. Well, some of it even I can explain. I mean, oil presumably is low because there's hope that a ceasefire deal will be reached over Gaza. But falling bond yields, rising equities for a while, and then this final hour pullback. Is there any rhyme or reason behind all of that? I mean, because we are nearing the end of the month as well, of course, because that makes things a little bit more volatile as well, doesn't it?
Morning, Phil. It is a bit of a mixed story. And even, you know, the currencies themselves, the huge movement in the yen is also kind of this unique story in the whole equation. But I would suggest that when it comes to the equity market, particularly in the US, you know, the earnings reporting season is its own factor or source of volatility. You know, one of the big moves as well overnight has been the Tesla news that they got a deal with US, rather Chinese authorities to get more of this sort of automated driving systems applied in China, as well as mapping with Baidu. So that's been really significant in the sense that we've seen the share market for the Tesla jump 15%. So again, contributing to those gains. but at the same time, you know, month end is coming. We also have the Fed coming. There's still quite a lot more of those earnings reporting from big companies coming too. So I think the market is a little bit sort of trying to position itself for all this news. And when it comes to the inflation story as well, we'll touch on that in Europe as well. It's going to be a big, an important day, I think, tonight, you know, whether there's confirmation of that progress in the inflation battle, if you like.
Interesting piece on equities, just very briefly, on Bloomberg today, saying about 1/3 of all S&P 500 stock trades are now executed in the last 10 minutes of the session. So all the rest of the session is 2/3, 1/3 in the last 10 minutes, which is up from 27% in 2021. It's always been high, but it's even higher now. So, you know, maybe the stock exchange just needs to open for 10 minutes a day and save ourselves a lot of money. That'd be great news for the restaurant trade, wouldn't it? Look, you mentioned the yen there. Let's talk about that because that's bounced back. So has there been some sort of government or central bank intervention, or is this just hope that maybe there will be?
Well, officially, you know, Kanda, the currency main man, if you like, within the MOF, refused to comment on the question. But obviously, you look at the price action and you have to suggest that, you know, something external is playing into it. And we will only officially know this by the end of May when you get the data from Moth. But I think it's a good bet to suggest that the government has been involved in intervention for a couple of reasons. One, we've seen an acceleration or we saw an acceleration in the yen depreciation, which is one of the conditions, if you like, for intervention. The MOF has always said that, you know, it's the speed of depreciation that is a concern as much as the level. And when you know, we saw dollar yen jump from starting the day around just 155, and then making all the way to 160, as you noted. So that's a huge, huge movement for the currency in the one day. So intervention would seem like the logical action. It's important, however, to also note that why did this happen is because, you know, on Friday we had the Bank of Japan essentially opening the door to weaker yen. The governor expressed no major concerns to the weakness in the yen, whilst at the same point time pointing out that the inflationary impact was not that significant at this stage. So of course then now the market is willing to test it and to see how tolerant the MOF as well as the BOJ are of a weaker yen.
So the other big news we've got, of course, is German inflation as well. We got it for Germany and for the regions of Germany. We've got Belgium and Spain as well, and then we get it for the whole of Europe tomorrow. But it's a bit of a worry, isn't it? It's not coming down. And if you actually look at some of the regions of Germany, like Bavaria and Brandenburg and Saxony, it's actually going up. It's also up in Belgium. I mean, Spain is coming down, but it's all happening very slowly. So, and we've seen European equities falling today. So is this a bit of a worry for the ECB?
It is a little bit of a worry. I mean, it's in terms of sort of the big picture, it's not yet suggesting that we should expect higher numbers for the Eurozone tonight. You know, you talk about the German number accelerating a little bit from 2.3 to 2.4 on a year-on-year basis, or rather 2.3 was expected. But the month-on-month number came in line with expectations at 0.6. Whilst at the same time, what it does show is that we're seeing a slowdown, if you like, in the decline of price pressures. So again, this idea that the last mile is the hardest when it comes to the inflation goal is looking evident or looking again similar in Europe as well. So I think obviously the risk for the inflation numbers for Europe tonight is that any uptick or any greater than expected print will again add fuel to this notion that it's not just the story of the US, it's evident in other parts of the world, including Europe, where inflation, you know, will slow down in a space of decline as you get closer to that 2% target. And also that what is important then is whether this has implications for the ECB thinking. Not only maybe they begin easing, you know, in June, July, but then the speed of rate cuts will also be important. And again, that those inflation dynamics will play a big part in that decision.
Right. Okay. So in the US now, employment costs are out today. I would have thought that would be a pretty important number. But of course, we get wages data in the payrolls on Friday as well. So do most people look towards that, or is this a useful precursor to what we get out of payrolls?
Well, I would suggest both of them are super important. The ECI is extremely important for the Fed. It is the one that the Fed likes to look at in greater detail. But of course, it comes a lot later than the others. In terms of what is expected, it's expected to print at 1%. So it's showing an uptick from the 0.9 that we had in the previous quarter, if the expectations are right. But again, it will also fuel this notion that, you know, the progress towards lower inflation in the US is stalling. And, you know, if you think about services inflation being elevated and services inflation being a function of the labor market, where workers are employed and also well paid. And if you're not seeing a decline in wages, then it suggests that, you know, sticky services inflation is likely to be the case. So it will be important. And of course, the information we get on Friday as well from non-farm payrolls will be super important too.
The Dallas Fed Manufacturing Index was out this morning as well. It didn't move very much, but the services index number is out tomorrow. So that's possibly a bit more interesting. Also, the Conference Board Consumer Confidence Survey, that has a jobs component as well, because it has the Jobs Plentiful Index, which rose a bit last time as well. So there's more jobs, it seems, if we go by that measure.
Yeah, so it's again, those are kind of really nice, important leading indicators of the US labor market. The expectations are still are for a little bit of weakness or, if you like, less strength of the labor market that we've seen in recent months. And of course, those lead indicators will be important. So the details of the consumer survey tonight will be important.
Yeah. All right. Now, today, Australia's retail sales for March. What's that going to tell us? Could it get the RBA worried? Are we also in that situation where we've got this sticky last mile that we have to contend with?
Yeah, the expectations are for, you know, for 4.2 month-on-month outcome. Our economists suggest that it might be a little bit slower at 0.1. But again, there's always this uncertainty around the retail sales figures with, you know, Easter falling at different times of the year. So it plays a little bit into the seasonality effect. And of course, Taylor Swift. So Taylor Swift might have boosted clothing spending, apparently.
Yeah. Those rhinestone cowboy boots. Have you got yours on at the moment as we talk?
Well, not at the moment, but you know, there's always a time and a place. So it will make it difficult to interpret the numbers. Because if it is strong, many will suggest that it's just because of the seasonality effects and one-off effects. But overall, you know, there's a general sense that the consumer is becoming a little bit more subdued in Australia. But the degree of that, subduedness, if you like, is still difficult to judge.
I'm going to have to look that up and check. That's a word, actually, Rodrigo. Subduedness. I'll let you get away with it. What does the RBA want? I mean, presumably they want a bit of subduedness.
Well, yeah. So if you think about the RBA and the inflation dynamics, the concern is really primarily around that services inflation. And then that demand at the moment is just too high relative to the level of supply. So I suppose what do you want? Ideally, you would like to see an increase in supplies to meet that demand, but that takes longer. So in the meantime, you have to restrain demand to get that balance again. So for now, it's higher for longer.
We need more subduedity. Just going to invent words now. So China, Caixing and the official manufacturing PMIs for April as well, they're coming out today, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And if anything, so the story, of course, in China has been that we had that start of the year after the Lunar New Year holidays, we saw an increase in activity. But now the question is whether that increase in activity is losing momentum. And if anything, we got that sort of sense in those activity readings for March. If you remember, you know, they were a little bit softer. And the concern here is that we may see a little bit of a pullback of that uptick in activity for both the manufacturing and non-manufacturing sector in China for April. So not a major decline is expected. So if you think about the manufacturing PMI, it was 50.8 and the market is thinking 50.3. But of course, any decline larger than that and potentially below 50 would be a major concern.
And finally today, Canada's GDP, another economy that is slowing down just the way the Bank of Canada planned it.
Yes. If anything, the perfect formula from a central bank perspective, where you're seeing, the tightening having an effect in terms of cooling the economy and also slowing down the economy, that is clearly evident in Canada. And that's why I think the market and the Bank of Canada is becoming more comfortable with this idea that rate cuts are coming and potentially as soon as June, if not July.
Okay. And of course, earnings is still going on. Not a lot today, but this time tomorrow, we'll be able to tell you about Amazon and Coca-Cola. I wonder how Coca-Cola's been doing, because obviously Donald Trump has been in court. He's not been able to drink it. But the fact he's been, you know, this has been so widely reported. I mean, maybe that'll boost sales of Coca-Cola. So, you know, maybe they've had a good quarter from, you know, people who like to stay awake buying it. Well, I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, we'll talk about that all tomorrow. Good to talk, Rodrigo. We'll catch you again next time. Thanks.
Cheers, Phil.
And that's it for today. I'm Phil Dobby for NAB. Back again tomorrow morning. I'll see you then.